In the Morning When I Rise. It's one of my favorite songs by Sweet Honey in the Rock. This is from their 1993 album, Still on the Journey. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're just picking up from where we left off yesterday. We're going to be doing that for a couple of days more because literally the landscape changes from day to day. And because the people changing the landscape are people you can't trust the veracity, the integrity of what it is they're saying. So it's literally a day-by-day process that you have to kind of ascertain where you think they might be or where you think they might be trying to put us. Well, I wanted to talk today about something that was said yesterday. I said yesterday, and it was Patricia from New York who called and said she didn't think about that, what I was saying, but it apparently kind of struck her. And it's the same feeling I had when it occurred to me. I said, well, wait a minute. We talking. And we're hearing all this stuff about this Mueller investigation. And the key actors, of course, are Donald Trump, the President of the United States, and other various people circling around him. The main question being Mueller's investigation and what did it find? I mean, what were the end results, the pivotal end results? And the answer we got was, well, they looked at two things, two main points in looking at Donald Trump. And one was he colluding with Russia? As receiving help from Russia to win the 2016 election. Was that collusion with Russia? And what they announced was they found no evidence of collusion by Donald Trump with Russian forces or Russian intelligence community people to manipulate the election so that he would win. Okay, so that's what they said on that score. Keep in mind that it really wasn't going to be a big deal because collusion in terms of criminal culpability is not high up on the post. Okay. The second problem that they tackled was whether there was obstruction of justice by Donald Trump in the matter of investigating the Trump campaign and how it conducted itself throughout the 2016 presidential election. Was there obstruction of justice? Before, during, after, it didn't matter, but was there an intentional intervention by, or somehow, by the Trump campaign and the Trump camp to obstruct justice? Now, that is a big crime. And that was what really I was waiting for. Was there evidence of obstruction of justice? Now we're talking big stuff. The previous stuff of whether there was collusion, it's going to be hard to prove. They may have tapes, they may have witnesses who could probably corroborate that, but I don't know. But with regard to obstruction of justice, now we're talking a whole different kettle of fish. And the pronouncement on the really important part of this investigation, which I remind you, was almost 2 years in the making, 2 years, took $30 million to get all the stuff that they needed and witnesses to testify and secure documentation and all kinds of corroborating, all kinds of legal stuff. It cost $30 million for that. And yet, at the end of the almost 2 year investigation, Mr. Mueller announces, well, one out of two. We can answer one out of two questions. Now, I don't understand how come this country didn't, you know, just erupt in anger that night when he announced this ridiculous end to an investigation with, well, we answered one of the questions, which really wasn't the pivotal question. The pivotal question was, did Donald Trump obstruct justice? That is not just a crime, it is an impeachable offense right off the bat. And there is no answer. And yet, Trump immediately started talking about he has been exonerated. There is no exoneration of President Trump. In fact, the condensation of the report, because we still haven't seen the entire report, it makes it very plain. There was no finding of Donald Trump on the first issue, but there also was no exoneration of the president whatsoever on the second issue, because it requires further investigation. Now, that makes everybody a suspect. Everybody is a suspect. Mueller is a suspect. Trump is a suspect. Everybody is a suspect. And despite the fact that Trump is beating his chest, he's getting the Republican Party to beat their collective chests, announcing victory and getting the nation all excited because the president has been exonerated. It says there very clearly and explicitly, there is no exoneration of the president. There was no finding, no final fact established, nor was there a complete exoneration of the president. I mean, what could be more explicit than that? But still, because this is politics and lying is the order of the day, Trump's media machine stretched it, as did he, the liar in chief, and said he was completely exonerated. Totally untrue. But I did say yesterday, what was curious to me, and it still is that this whole matter of Russian interference and manipulation of the 2016 presidential election, that was the chief complaint of one Hillary Rodham Clinton. And suddenly she disappears. She disappears from accountability in the piece of the report that they released. She is completely out of sight. She was all over the place. She had the book. She had lectures going. They were still collecting money for the eponymous foundation, the Bill Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation is still raking in money by the millions of dollars. And suddenly there's nothing but silence about Hillary Clinton. She was the one who raised this big complaint. Trump was trying to steal the election. She was sure of it. She had evidence, she said. And she was frustrated because the attorney general would take no notice of her legitimate claims. So how come she just vanishes from this discussion without a trace? I mean, I appreciate people who can do magic, but this is a different kind of magic. How is it that she is nowhere to be seen after, in fact, instigating, in many ways, she instigated this investigation. She was absolutely dead sure. She had evidence. She had people who would talk. She had documents that Donald Trump was coordinating the manipulation of the election with the Russians. She was absolutely sure of it. And now you're talking, this is no ordinary complainer. The wife of a former president, who also was a former Secretary of State. This is big stuff. She is a complainant. She is the central complainant. The government, did not initiate this complaint. She did. Okay. So finally, they took up the case. Well, what was it that justified taking up the case in the first place? Spending $30 million, taking 2 years, calling refs of witnesses. What justified the case? And now, what justifies the unceremonious end to this case? And she disappears into thin air. Poof, she's gone. She has, as far as they're telling us, if you look at how they're situating the case, she has nothing to do either with the initiation of the investigation and or the results. She has nothing to do with this. So somebody was working very, very hard to protect her. We know that James Comey, the former head of the FBI, who still has to explain how he shielded then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton from charges that she lied about Benghazi. And she convinced a bunch of other people, officials in the Obama administration, also to lie and say that what started the whole conflagration in Benghazi was some guy who made a tape and broadcast the tape and made the United States the central butt of anger of people of Benghazi. She lied. Do we hear of Hillary Clinton being the subject of a perjury investigation? No. No. And in this recent case, I mean, this is a major expense. What started the case? What started the case? It was Hillary Clinton. She started the case with a complaint, and then she insisted that it be prosecuted just on the basis that she outlined. Donald Trump, and as you know, I'm not a great fan of Donald Trump, But we have to look at the facts as they are, and we have to ask the questions nobody is asking. What would induce a very educated man, a very experienced man in the law, right, to blatantly ignore one of the most glaring omissions in this case? And that is the role of Hillary Clinton. Her complaints, her steady complaints, her loud complaints, her news conference complaints, that she has it not only on good authority, but she has the evidence that Donald Trump is the reason she lost the election, because he colluded and planned with the Russians, gave them all kinds of information, allowed them access to sensitive information, so that she would be defeated. Now, that's a big claim. And yet, on the basis of her word, nobody asked Hillary Clinton, well, let's see the facts you have. She knew she could take advantage of her position, her profile, the privileges that come with her previous position in government, and so forth. She knew she could use all of that to get her way and to begin a sham operation aimed squarely at President Trump, now President Trump. No charges have been filed against her. No questions have been raised with her. She has not been told or compelled to come before any committee to answer that question. And yet, the more important of the two questions that Mueller says he's not able to deal with right now, he's not able to answer right now, has to do with that precisely. Okay, so as the great philosopher Aretha Franklin would ask, who is zooming who? Who's zooming who? And that's what I meant yesterday when I said, and I'm glad, so glad, that Patricia caught on to it. The only person who has escaped any kind of attention, legal and otherwise, is Hillary Clinton. So we're going to talk about that today. We are going to talk about that today. I should mention another major development that is very concerning, and that concerns the escalating verbal trades between Venezuela and Russia and the United States. As you know, the United States has taken unprecedented steps with regard to its involvement in another nation's affairs, in our region especially, by calling for a new government, because Donald Trump doesn't like this one, Nicolas Maduro, and he is supporting a candidate. There's no election. The last election was run. The people elected the president that they wanted, but Trump does not like this one. And he is instead supporting a person who anointed himself interim president of the country. Mr. Guadeloupe, a young upstart. And Mr. Trump is of the opinion that he ought to officially take his position. I mean, it's something in the water, I'm sure, in Washington, D.C., that makes people lose their minds, whatever is left of it. So he wants Guaido installed after, of course, self-installing. Self-installed. He's a self-installed interim president of Venezuela. As you know, internally, the country became very, very tense as factions on both sides faced off each other. And we have the involvement of China, of Russia in particular, two major countries of the world supporting Maduro and condemning the United States. In fact, the spokesman from China says recently, he said that China considers the United States of essentially attempting a coup of the country. As you know, Venezuela has perhaps one of the world's largest deposits of oil and other mineral resources, and gold, such as gold and so forth. There's a lot of people wanting to put their hands on that. But the central question is that the United States not only itself broke the law by intervening in a situation where its input was not either required or desired. And the United States now has gone around in its circle of influence to drum up support for its illegal action, trying to say that the current government, the government of the duly elected president, Nicolas Maduro, is illegitimate, he says, and must be replaced with somebody he likes. And we now have growing tension inside of Venezuela, which is of what the United States desires, to fracture the country by having its people, you know, take sides and misguiding people. But now it's been exported to the larger community, to the international community. And so the tension grows. So we have now the United States condemning what it says is the increased militarization of Venezuela by proxy, meaning the Chinese have a presence there now, militarily. They're training Venezuelan soldiers. Russia has a presence, and it says it will increase it accordingly. So there is a tinderbox right in our backyard. And who started it? Who started it? One Donald J. Trump. And as a result of it, it has reached a point of serious concern. We're not seeing daily reports on the media because they know that the United States is culpable. They know that the United States, in fact, was undertaking very underhanded activities in Venezuela, the central aim of which was to topple the government and to invade Venezuela so as to put its hands on its resources. Oil, gold, minerals, etc. And to establish a beachhead, an official beachhead, governing the entire region, Caribbean region. All right, those are the two items I'll put on the table today. Feel free to react to them. We'll take this break and come back to your assessments and analyses and opinions at 888-874-4888 right after this short break. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about two subjects today. We're talking about developments in Venezuela, with the United States ratcheting up its provocative stance in that country. And we're talking about the mysterious role of Hillary Clinton, who is nowhere on the scene, in the middle of this major accident, which I insist she caused. She played a major role in this whole debacle about Donald Trump and his supposed allowing Russia to interfere and manipulate the election, and also the question that still has not been answered, and which Mueller says he can't answer. A gifted man like that, an educated guy like that, after $30 million is spent, can't give us an answer on whether Donald Trump committed acts of obstructing justice, which is a big deal. I would think that Hillary Clinton would be thrilled, but she's nowhere to be found on this matter. Mike from Queens, you're on the air. What are your comments?
Good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay. A little tardy, I would say, but I'm glad to be talking once again or calling in to your show. It's been a minute.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm a little concerned that just as the mistake is made to attribute so much to whether the Russians colluded, or rather Trump's administration or party colluded with the Russians, without dealing with the primary issue, which was, you know, which came up after he was in office, but of course even before that, his corruption, his crime, his past history of criminal activity with Russian oligarchs, as well as here in New York with the mob and everyone else. That was enough to get him, you know, thrown off the ballot, and if not, have him defeated, had they not given so much attention, had he not gotten so much media attention, and of course, had the Democrats not been so feistily focused and narrowly minded, focusing on our other candidate for the moment. But the reason why I mention that concern is because I think we're still giving Trump too much. He's a willing and able idiot who can be manipulated, but the true people behind the policy in Venezuela is Bolton, the neocons, the same people that were in the early Bush administration, were reemerging, Abrams, Bolton, and Pompeo. who are, you know, operatives with an agenda, a crazed agenda for foreign policy and America's hegemony throughout the Western or Northern Hemisphere. I say that to say, with regards to even if Trump weren't there, we would still be dealing with this issue. If Clinton was in office, the attack on Venezuela and the attempts to thwart the Bolivarian Revolution, and essentially not just the revolution, the Bolivarian Revolution, but the desire for self-determination, the desire for democracy to take foothold in any nation, but particularly South America, as well as in the Caribbean and so forth, has always been quelled, squashed, and undermined by American empire. So,
but you
we
know,
can
Mike,
throw this in.
I appreciate your points, but for the purposes of our discussion,
good conversation.
Purposes of our conversation, you're missing the point. The point is, if it weren't Trump who was in office, maybe Joe Busby, President Joe Busby, it doesn't matter. The fact is,
the buck
stops with Trump. It is Trump who's in office.
At this time.
Whoever's in office, the buck stops with that person. And
yeah,
we have to look at this, not from the oligarchs and all the other things that we typically consider, but this president we have held responsible. But I'm saying, in as much as we're holding him responsible, how come nobody's holding Hillary Clinton responsible? She's the one who started the complaint.
With regards to the investigation of Trump's presidency?
Yes.
Well, that's
you forgot. You forgot Hillary Clinton essentially made a national tour on this question about calling out Donald Trump and leveling this charge specifically at him. She was the one who started it. How come she has no accountability here?
If I may reply, I agree with you on that. You said there are two issues on the table we wanted to discuss today. One is where is Hillary in regards to the investigation of Donald Trump and this issue of the Russiagate? I agree with you. I think it's best that she take a back seat because she should be investigated next. But the other side of that is I don't need her to make any announcements. She's noticeably absent. But the Russiagate issue, I think, was a fault.
System behaves when people, acts of the people of the system validate that there is collusion. If there were no collusion, she'd be smack dab in the middle of testimony by now. She would be asked to basically validate all of the claims that she had made. She was a central complainant.
Well, I think she had to make that rationale or use that as an excuse for her failure and being such a dismal candidate. The Democrats
blaming
the Russians.
We don't care about that. Mm-hmm. We don't care about that.
Right,
this
we don't, but where are you going with this?
We didn't ask her to make that argument. She voluntarily made the argument, and she was consistent and vocal about it, that she was robbed of the presidency by Donald Trump. She was the one who leveled the argument. She should have some accountability here. We're not here.
I don't think it's over yet, and I don't think Clinton is the only one who needs accountability here. If you said we're going to look at systemic issues in terms of this, I don't have time. I don't think we should get fixated on one particular thing. Clinton will have her day in court, I think, but
she's not going to have her day in court. That's my point. All of this choreography has been done to avoid having her come before the people and validating exactly what she said. She has not been called before the people to really answer the truth about Benghazi. She has not, and she's not going to, and they're allowing it.
Okay, but why are we talking about Benghazi? Are we talking about the elections and her allegations against Trump in terms of Russia?
We are talking about not being so naive as to believe that they are two separate things. They're linked.
Well,
the link here is that Hillary Clinton, you look at the foundation, the Clinton Foundation, she has not been called to account for that. You look at her emails, she has not been called to account for that. All the matters, the criminal...
I agree with you very much.
She's sorry. Been shielded from all of that. And it's time to figure out why.
I think we're tugging at the same tail. I agree with you. I think that Clinton and Trump are very much similar. Trump is just a street crime criminal. Hillary's a, you know, behind the house, bigger criminal. And both of them are to be held accountable for their actions before, Trump now and Hillary for before then. But this malaise that we've gotten caught in, as far as the report coming out, when Mueller report, the only thing they seem to give Hillary some credence in, at least allegedly, is that because the Russians had some alleged involvement in the releasing of her emails, that's as Russians were tampering, but not to the extent that there was coordination with this administration, which is what he's been involved
in. No, because you are making a multidimensional issue one-dimensional. The situation with her emails is multidimensional.
Oh, yes, it is. It certainly is. It revealed a whole lot about what she was doing.
Right. So we have to appreciate the fact that there are complexities involved. But even with complexities, Mueller still went zeroed in on Trump and Trump alone.
Well, that was to exculpate or at least to remove Trump from the issue. Essentially, what I've heard from other people's opinions is that Mueller is a Republican, and he's been known to clean up mess even when it looks like he's being solely objective. But he is a part of that deep state apparatus that would, in fact, say, listen, we're going to make this look real good. I'm going to do what I do. He's really professional at it. He knew to keep his mouth shut. But in the end, we're going to make sure this guy gets to walk a little bit. I think that's some of it. I don't agree with all of it, but I think contextually, given that he's referred cases for prosecution in other jurisdictions, locally, the state level, and other,
I'm saying we should set that all aside. I don't care how brilliant a tactician he is. I don't care how learned he is in the law. I'm saying we need to understand and have an explanation as to why. We don't know yet the answer to the question after $30 million, 2 years, almost exactly, of investigation, the availability of everything you asked for in the way of documents and testimony and all this other kind of stuff. Why don't we have an answer to that question
in 2 years? I'm sorry, if the full report is released, maybe we'll get better answers and we'll see where this goes.
He is not supposed to be. You're either releasing a report or you're not.
I think there's a lot more layers to this in terms of who. Look at who's an attorney general now. I mean, a guy who's sworn to say
but
the president can do no wrong.
But he didn't say there are more layers to it. He just said, I answered one of the two questions. The contract wasn't for him to answer one of two questions. The mandate that he had was to solve the damn problem. Give us some answers to both questions.
No, his mandate was to determine whether there was collusion between the Russians and the Trump administration campaign, and he found none. I think that was clear. He established that. But he also, in his investigation, found and uncovered other things that are issues of criminality. And self, you know, in enrichment that definitely caused, and also the question of stifling or what they call a suppression of witnesses, what have you. I'm not even using the right phrase, but the point I'm making is there's a lot more, as you said, layer to this and complexity to it. And I think that this administration will not allow it to come forward.
If that is in fact valid from his perspective, he should have said that from the very beginning. But he announced, along with the solution, quote unquote, to the first question, he kind of just said, well, you know, I can't answer the second question. And I can't even tell you why. When I get good and ready, or somebody gets me good and ready, we'll kind of know what happened. But in the meantime, I'm saying it is still our duty to ask the question, because these are very important questions, and nobody is addressing them. Nobody.
Well, thank you, Tree. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi, Tree. I have a slightly, hope you're doing okay, everybody.
Thank you.
I have a slightly different take because I'm looking at some different facts. Now, I will say this. The Clinton Foundation is so vast, or it was, that so many people are implicated. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein, Bill Clinton, Hillary. I mean, there's a lot of people implicated. Judges, all types of people in power. So that's just a short answer to your question, why is she not being touched? Because she has dirt on everybody, most likely. And it's been laundering money. And if you notice, they shut down Trump's foundation quickly because, you know, they broke the book. It looks like the Clintons wrote the book on using the foundation as a money laundering scam. But
well, that's
a
standard procedure. And by the way, Trump himself shut down his foundation.
Well,
Trump himself shut down his foundation, I think, the same year he took office.
Okay. But, you know, we have to remember Russia was not only meddling in our elections. They meddled in the elections in Britain, you know, in the UK. That's why the Brexit thing is a mess. They also messed with the elections in Brazil. Then we have to remember a lot of people in the third world and also, you know, different parts of the world do everything on their cell phones. A lot of people get news that is channeled to them because of Google, so everything's highly personalized. So it's not that hard to do, and it doesn't cost a lot. And this is what our intelligence people have been saying. And this is what gets lost in this conversation, is that the Obama administration, before this past presidential election, approached Mitch McConnell and informed him that the intelligence indicated that Russia was meddling in our elections. They were getting into our systems and everything else. And Mitch McConnell refused to go forward with Obama before the election to state this. He said, well, if you do that, then I'm going to say you're being partisan.
But was an investigation that negated these charges, that said Russia was not interfering with the U.S. electoral system? There was a big investigation about that.
The investigation is not over. Excuse me, Utrecht. First of all, we had no report. We have a letter from a biased person who wrote a letter out in the ether to say that he didn't believe in the Mueller investigation in the first place.
No, I'm not talking about the Mueller investigation. I'm talking about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about 2 years ago when this question was broached and the heads of the intelligence community, all of them, said there was no Russian involvement in trying to derail or manipulate U.S. elections. They said it. I didn't say it. They said it. All of the heads of, not one head of U.S. intelligence made any suggestion that the Russian intelligence community somehow was involved in manipulating U.S. elections. Not one.
Not one currently serving. So we just had these people who used to work with the intelligence and on the periphery, and they're promulgating this this myth, as you say it is? Is that what's happening?
What's happening is we don't know.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
What
we do know is
that the appropriate questions and the relevant questions and the vital questions are not being asked.
Well, let's look at the facts. Now, Trump Tower? Why were there so many Russians living in Trump Tower, and there was a server going directly to a Russian bank from Trump Tower?
So many reports were done on that, and the questions remain. They have not been properly addressed and answered.
Well, right, and that's what I'm saying. So we have to see this full report because Barr cannot be trusted. Please, let's all agree on that. That's his history, is to exonerate people. He's the cleanup guy. He's the cleanup guy. I'm old enough to remember Iran-Contra. I remember that. But the other thing also, let's look at who we have in custody. We have Maria Butina, or Butina, however her name is pronounced, who is a certified Russian spy. Now, she infiltrated the far right wing, the evangelicals who like guns, and the NRA, and she was funneling money. And that's the investigation.
I don't want to cut you short on these things. We're having two separate conversations. I want to stay in my lane. Mm-hmm. And the lane that I was in was, we're not getting answers on the questions raised supposedly in our behalf. We're not getting answers.
Because the corruption is so widespread.
Yes, but it's not enough.
This is about money.
$30 million and 2 years ought to get us some definitive answers.
Well, this is you have to really parse the legal language. This is what Mueller was trying to say. It is the opinion of the Justice Department right now that the sitting president cannot be indicted, even though he's listed as co-conspirator number one. In another document, it has to do with something else. That doesn't have to do with Russia. But in other words, he's using some logic where the president cannot be indicted while he's sitting. This is why it's such a nebulous, the letter, at least the letter that Barr has given us, is very nebulous. Because
yes,
if you say...
Here's the counter to that position. Mm-hmm. The counter to that position is, that was not what Mueller was charged with in order to get this project completed. He was not asked to interpret the law. He was asked to find facts. He says, I can't find them.
Okay, does he say that or does Barr say that?
No, that's what essentially... Mueller is saying when he
no,
says,
no, "No, no, no, there's no essentially." Either
I could answer
A
this question. I'm sorry.
Either person A said it. You can't be essentially. This is either person A said it or not. So that's why Mueller has to be questioned in front of Congress under oath, because all we're seeing right
he
now
shouldn't
is Barr's
have to be questioned under oath.
Well, he shouldn't
was
be.
A
lot of
task.
Things shouldn't be.
Because he was deemed capable and because he accepted the task. He was given everything he asked for. And it is unacceptable, in my view, that after 2 years and $30 million and a whole raft of witnesses testifying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that you come up with the lame excuse that you can't answer two very simple and direct questions. And the one that you really can't answer is the whole package. That is the whole point of your investigation. What do we need you for?
I agree. But that's why we have to have the full report before.
Exactly.
We needed to have a full report. This is the problem. Exactly. This is why Barr was hired. This is exactly why he was hired. That's his modus operandi. He is slimy. And you see, he put that letter out there to put a spin on this before the full report is released. There's so much pressure.
Yes.
It's going to have to be. And I hope the real report gets leaked. I really do. Because this is mad.
We'll see. I don't think they have the courage. But in the meantime... We should. I gotta stick this in. In the meantime, we should pay attention to the fact that a lot is being done to avoid having Hillary Clinton embroiled, and she is a major figure, I contend, in this whole debacle.
Well, let me ask you this, because, right, yeah. And you made a very good point, a very salient point, where when you're Secretary of State, you know, she has privilege to many, many of our secrets. So what did she know? In other words, did she know that things were being investigated? Did she direct, you know, Secretary of State?
You've removed your equipment illegally and installed it in your basement of your house. You have a convicted sex offender who has access. This is
Jeffrey Epstein.
No, not Epstein. Her chief aide's then husband from Brooklyn, the congressman.
I know who you're right. I can't recall his name. They got his laptop. Right. He was married to Uma Epstein's husband.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That information went where? Who was Uma Abedin working for?
Hillary Clinton.
Okay, well, is she not responsible? You don't know who these people are talking to. And we've had Charles Ortel on this program describe that these were functionaries as well of one of the largest unprosecuted frauds in U.S. history. This is no joke.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's odd because he has all this paperwork on this foundation, and there's so many people implicated. That's, you know, this corruption, as you're one of your favorite topics, is so massive. And it could very well be, you see, both sides might have been using Russia.
But all I'm saying, too, is this has been bought and paid for with taxpayer money. Taxpayers are entitled to know. And we have to vigorously seek the truth and the answers to the questions that all of a sudden a capable guy like Mueller can't find the way to answer these questions.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Just pack up your tent and go away. That's how I feel. I know it's crazy.
And I just want to add one more thing to this, and I'm trying to stay in this lane here. I am. It's so difficult. There's so many turnabouts and jugheads. You know, it's hard to stay in the lane. It's like driving in South Jersey. So So apparently Michael Flynn upset the judge that was doing his sentencing so much where he actually lost his sense of decorum in the courtroom because he knew exactly. This still hasn't been released, all the nefarious things that Flynn was involved in. And let's remember, Flynn was running back and forth to Russia, and they were looking, he and Kushner were looking for a secure line which cannot be tapped into between themselves and Russia before even the inauguration of Trump. Now,
there's a lot of dirtiness going on here, and we have to get answers to at least one of these important questions, and we should not tolerate being on the receiving end of this kind of garbage where people are saying, well, you know, I can't answer the question. I don't know the answers. I haven't gotten there yet. No. That is unacceptable.
I agree.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for your call today. Leona, I'm so sorry you have a little bit of time, but take it.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I want to thank you for bringing up this question because, you know, I had forgotten myself that Hillary Clinton kind of kick-started this thing, her area. Now, the other night I was watching another news program, RT, I think it was, and Charles Ortel was on there, and he was quoted as saying that he thought this whole, and I'm paraphrasing, this whole investigation thing was a big diversion tactic from what was going down, from people looking at what was happening at the Clinton Foundation. And I'm surprised. I don't know what to do to stay out of these trances. I call it a trance that the media puts on us. It's like an assault on my thinking, and it's a form of psychological warfare, maybe even. I don't know, but how do you fight back? I guess your show is one way of fighting back because Miss Clinton just was off the radar.
Train yourself to take all of that stuff and start disassembling it till it makes sense to you. You can't possibly find out everything about these things because these things are intricately designed over a long period of time involving a bunch of crooks.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to just get to something that makes sense as the architecture of, you know, a plan. We don't know. But at least we can train ourselves not to automatically accept what is given to us, but to ask questions. That
yes,
is
ma'am.
Our power, to continue to ask the questions that lead us to the answers. So we, okay. If you want, you can continue this tomorrow, Leona, so you have more time to stretch out.
Oh, no, ma'am.
I'm
fine. Thank you for the offer. I'm fine. I was listening, but thank you for the offer.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our program today, and we'll continue tomorrow. It's another day. Bye-bye.